You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant cares about
ain't
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life,
I'm running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. I hope you get a chance to do all things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. I always put emphasis on the word will, because it is the will. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and you know it has to be done, you will, I repeat, you will get it done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. You click on that, and then the drop down, you will see African Perspectives. You click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled, and they are updated. That's right. They are updated. So, and very updated to the program I just did this Monday. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then at from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey on Monday. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. I know there's going to be a new program with the American African Farmers. I heard Elliot say something. I got to get with him and find out if that's the case so I can announce that as well. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisi Y. Ayan. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host Luanda Chambers. And then on Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba is right now in Senegal and Gambia. And can't wait till he gets back. I'll get him on the program, and he'll talk about what they experienced. And, of course, the the photos and maybe video from this present tour that they're doing right now will be up. Once again, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. That's Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, everything you need is there for you on the website. The upcoming trip after this one is May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. And then November 18th through the 29th, going to Tanzania. And then December 24th through January 5th, 2022, going once again to Ghana. Check out AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Renoko Rashidi, Baba Renoko, he has a program upcoming on next week Friday, April 16th. And he's talking with a brother from the Sudan. It is a Zoom conference. I'm not the Sudan, I apologize. From Kush. Dr. Renoko's presentation, Authentic Voices, a conversation with Samar Abbas. Okay, he's from Kush. And then, of course, he's got a tour upcoming, and that is July 18th through August 3rd, going to Ghana with Professor Small and Dr. Leonard Jeffries and Renoko. And in the midst of that, he has a comedic tour, July 31st to August 13th. So he'll be joining them, and that is in Kemet, tour and lecture in Kemet. And he has pictures of all of this, so go to the website, drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habesha, their mission, of course, is to provide Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs, Golden Growers, the Kashi Project that is happening in Africa. So, brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. I have to admit, I did a libation for the program that they had, the poetry program they had this past Monday. And it was beautiful, brothers and sisters. It was beautiful. So if you're in the Atlanta area, they're going to be doing it again. But where they did it at is in the West End. And there was a picture of Dr. Kweku Adu and on the shrine. And when I poured libation, I forgot to mention him and give him his respect, because what they're doing in Ghana, what Habesha is doing in Ghana in honor of this brother is tremendous, and it deserves to be supported. So that's HabeshaIncorporated.org and the Kashi Project that's happening in Ghana. So go to HabeshaIncorporated.org to please make a contribution to that project. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of group economics. The Ledge Group, they have a raffle where you can win a Tanzanian safari. You can win a Tanzanian safari. So go to theledgegroup.com to check out what the raffle entails, what you need to do, okay? And understand that the Ledge Group is about food, water, clothing, and shelter, the basic necessities for life. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 people employed on the continent and 260 members. They need more members. They need you. Go to theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. Bibi Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. ABIBIATUMI.com, brothers and sisters. They have other avenues too, but check it out. On Saturdays, they have the Saturday series. And this Saturday, the 10th, it's going to be at 1:00 p.m. 1:00 p.m. Eastern Time. 1:00 Eastern Time. 12 Central, 11 Mountain, and 10 Pacific Time. And is that Why Kemet Matters. Did you know that African people invented math, science, medicine, architecture, history, philosophy, politics, spirituality, warfare, and combat sciences, agricultural sciences, astronomy, culture, cosmology, literature, and other arts? Why were you not told of this information? In this talk, We will build on the work of great scholars such as Dr. Sheikh Anshar Jop to begin to scratch the surface of the legacies of Kemet, land of the blacks, and discuss the implications of the ongoing systematic and intentional disinformation campaign in the context of the theme of why Kemet matters. Brothers and sisters, it matters tremendously. So check this out. Go to bbatumi.com so you can register to get the tickets. It is an Eventbrite. I believe it's an Eventbrite event. No, I don't think so. Just go to bbatumi.com, okay? All right. Yep. And so, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, across the street from the Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. If you want information, you can give them a call at 404-444-6696. 404-444-6696. That's the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Let me see if that's the same number. Yes, it is. I know Baba. Who does the history programs? Baba Olatunji. I know they haven't done it now in a year. And those history classes were outstanding. Brother's doing an outstanding job. Had a lot of good information. In fact, I got a lot of information on a drive. Got them from him in advance. Just tremendous. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, is open now. Much more space. And if you want to check her out, go to the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right in the main quarter, or give her a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The bookstore, another bookstore we promote, of course, the Shrine of Black Madonna is a bookstore. The Shrine of Black Madonna got everything. They got furniture, they got clothing, they got artwork, they got jewelry, they got the red, black, and green shoes. They got it all, you know. And, of course, books. But this bookstore is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore by good brother Gazimdi Ajamu. And he was there on Monday at the poetry piece. And did his piece that he does, which is outstanding. Love him. Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore on the main street in Lithonia. Give my good brother a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast is tomorrow night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's us lifting us. But if you want to call to listen or call to give comment or concerns or questions, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's us lifting us at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It is inside the International Discount Mall, booth number 225. That's Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And if you got one more information, give Sister Shelley Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. That's Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who has been doing an outstanding job of working with the brothers and sisters in the poor section, the rural section of Haiti, the northeastern portion of Haiti up in the hills. Brothers and sisters, go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org, Sanjay Dash Haiti, and check it out for yourself. They deal with education, healthcare,
sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Beautiful program. Check it out. Ackerman Institute. Brothers and sisters, support the Ackerman Institute that helps train our warriors. They're totally independent. They're relying on us. Make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You can use Cash App or PayPal. For Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. And make your constant contributions to support the great work that they are doing. Also, too, he is a prolific writer. And if you want to check out some of his books, go to Ackerman House, AckermanHouse.com to check out the many books that Baba Baruti has written. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 6th. We live surrounded by white images, and white in this world is synonymous with good, light, beauty, success. So that despite ourselves, sometimes we run after that whiteness and deny our Africanness, our darkness, which has been made into the symbol of all that is evil or inferior. Pauli Marshall. Yorugu's greatest fear is that we will remember and no longer want to be them. And this fear is indeed enormous. The Negro also has fears. However, while their fears of Yorugu are immeasurable, a fear deeply hidden into their aggression against their own, the Negro's fears of warriors are monstrous. They are so great because they know that we can sense their betrayal. Anyone that shows a semblance of consciousness, anything that does not validate or glorify Yorugu, is, in their self-hating eyes, something to be abhorred or obliterated. This is why Negroes look at warriors with fear and contempt. They can sense their ability to move from within with power and righteous rage against enemies. Likewise, Negroes are very much afraid of what will be done to them if they dare leave the dungeon Yorugu has created within them and act on a choice to no longer be their slaves. Therefore, Yoruguites can have no respect for or even be neutral about anyone or anything that does not love Yorugu. Yorugu is their only identity, their only point of reference. And this reference point is psychopathologically superiority seeking and deadly afraid of being revealed in a world that verifies their inferiority simply by the sight of their regressive minority appearance. Affirm, I surround myself with beauty of blackness. Affirm, I surround myself with the beauty of Africanness. April 7th. Genocide is a process. It begins as failure to cherish and protect all that belongs to you and yours. It is accomplished with the separation of your cultural, spiritual, and physical selves. Death is but the added insult of the final injury. In Xavier Arnold. A deep observational consideration of this thought can help those who do not understand the systematic nature of what is going on. Yorugu are consistent in applying their deception and creative approaches into destroying everything that is not them and works against their domination. They work against anyone who has the potential to become or remain free and neutral and natural. And they do it in every single solitary area of people activity. Let me say that again. Yorugu, they do it in every single solitary area of people activity. That's what Francis Cress Welsing taught us. With intense long-term concerted planning. They devour life and all who promote it. Only a fool would overlook the fact that deception always has an agenda. Relative to a sworn enemy for warriors, this should bring up the question of why would we smile at a people who are consciously trying to kill us? It is productive to try to befriend a determined assailant? That's a question. Is it productive to try to befriend a determined assailant? It is only the fool who cannot believe his enemy is his foe and that his enemy is trying to murder him. And only a moron would fall for the propaganda that conversation brings peace to sworn enemies. Equally doomed is the person who acts as if predators are only sporadically deadly. Affirm, I study Urugu's genocide process and agenda and work to undermine it with every breath I take. Ashe. Affirm, I study Urugu's genocide process and agenda and I work to undermine it with every breath I take. The Inye Sesin for Daily Revolutionary Thought. We will... We'll do the opening and read the Inye Sesin. We're going to do announcements on Friday. We have Baba Baruti being our guest this Friday, and we want to take as much time as we can because it's every now and then that we can get him because of his busy schedule of educating our children and all the other things that he does. So it's always a pleasure to have him on the program. And so I really thank him for that. Okay, Mamanda Bantu said the town hall meeting I was scheduled for Saturday is going to be postponed. So I will announce that for the Pan-African Federalist Movement, which, of course, I encourage you to become a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, to support it, the whole concept, the whole idea. It has to, you know, the Pan-African Federalist Movement, the movement has to start gaining some momentum and going international, as well as in this country, but everywhere, because there's only, as far as I'm concerned, and you can rescue me if I'm wrong, there's only one place that we can say and claim, and that is the continent. And the continent has everything we need. The continent has everything everybody else thinks they need, and they think they can't do without, and the damn it, they don't want to pay for. So we must control our land and our resources. We are not a poor people. We're a divided people. The only thing that will change this dynamic is that African people just purge themselves of the ignorance and stupidity and the love for Urugu, just as I read to you about what Baba Rudy said about these Urugu loving traitors. They can stay here, but just leave us alone. The Africans on the continent, for those who want to come to America, bring your ass here. For those who want to stay in Africa, they know that they can contribute to the future of African people. Stay, and now let's work together. Let's build together. Man, I tell you. Yep. Well, you know, Final Four is over. Baylor gave previously unbeaten in Gonzaga, which is out of Spokane, Washington, has been a team that's always been up there for a good number of years now, you know, and they were at the door of being an undefeated team champion the first time since 1976. There have been a few others prior to 76, but that was the last time. Indiana. Remember it very well. Remember the team. Indiana with Scott May and Quinn Buckner and Kent Benson and Wilkerson and Abernathy. And they played Michigan with Ricky Green in the national championship game. But it didn't happen because Baylor, the Baylor Bears, them brothers shot lights out. I loved it. I loved it because
Gonzaga was dusting everybody. They were winning by double digits. They had a record going until UCLA, and UCLA almost got them. The last second shot by Jalen Suggs. Yeah, but all them cats was crying. But one thing I want y'all to remember about the NC2A, not who the champions were, none of that. I want you to remember when you hear the word NC2A or the NA, that's which stands for the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA, the NCAA or NC2, whatever the hell they said. But once you hear that, I want you to always remember and think about not just March Madness, but think about the NCAA period. Because it is a March Madness in itself is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money off the labor of unpaid African people. So when you see that, remember that, because that's the fact. This coach, he just won the championship. He'll get a raise. He'll be the highest public employee in the state of Texas, making millions as a public employee. In many states, the coach of the football or basketball, the athletic director, all of them make more than tenured professors. All of them. And the students don't make a damn dime. And this BS about them being able to make something on their likeness and image, that's bull. That's bull. I came up with a way that it could be done way back about 20-something years ago. It still can be done just that way. But obviously, coaches won't be making tens of millions like they are, like Nick Saban. Or Dabo Sweeney. Man, I hate that dude. I'm going to punch him in the face. Let me tell you why. Because in John Oliver's piece on, he did a piece on NC2A. And only foul part is that, one of the foul parts, one of, not only, one of, is that when one of the students said they gave you these classes, and then one was a Swahili class. To me, that's the damn class he should have embraced. We need to speak another language outside of these Caucasians. And, of course, John Oliver make joke about it in light of it, which pissed me off. But one thing he did point out is the inequity that happens. And so from that, that was cool. But still, you know, and Dabo Sweeney, when he was told about them doing something, he was adamant. He was boisterous. About them not. The minute that they get, I'm gonna be out of here. Well, good. I hope so. Man, I tell you, can't stand them. Yep, can't stand them. Billie Holiday. That's right. Billie Holiday's birthday. Is today. Yeah. Her birthday is today. Billie Holiday, born Eleanor Fagan, April 7th, 1915. She died July 17th, 1959, was an American jazz singer and songwriter, nicknamed Lady Day by her friend and musical partner, Lester Young. Holiday had a seminal influence on jazz and pop singing. Her vocal style, strongly inspired by jazz instrumentalists, and pioneered a new way of manipulating phrasing and tempo. Critic John Bush wrote that Holiday changed the art of American pop vocals forever. She co-wrote only a few songs, but several of them have become jazz standards, notably God Bless the Child. That's got his own. God Bless the Child. Don't Explain, Fine and Mellow, and Lady Sings the Blues. She also became famous for singing Easy Living, Good Morning Heartache, and Strange Fruit, a song, a protest song, which became one of her standards and was made famous with her 1939 recording. Music critic Robert Chenault called her uncoverable, possibly the greatest singer of the century. Lady Day. There's a movie with Sister Day playing her, Andrea Day, the sister who wrote Rise Up as the Day, Andrea Day, playing Billie Holiday, and up for an award. It's by Lee Merrick, and I don't think he had to have those sex scenes in there, but that's Lee Merrick. He does that kind of stuff, you know that? He always, that's the kind of dude he is, you know? Lee Merrick. He's the one that did Precious. So now, if you've seen that, then now you know. And so I had a little, but hey, it's the story, and believe me, I can imagine that's how it was. The FBI wanted her. They didn't want it, because she told this Caucasian lady, she says, it reminds y'all of what y'all done. Y'all don't want to hear it. Y'all don't want to hear it. Caucasians suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior, and in a damn thing that we can say or do to prove otherwise. Whatever amount of proof, which is tremendous, there's a plethora of truth against that, but they dismiss it, they ignore it, they don't want to hear. And believe me, they don't want to hear it from Caucasians. A Caucasian lady named Dr. D'Angelo, she coined the phrase, they suffer from white fragility. Their image and ego is fragile because of what they have done, but they don't want to even hear it from them. They sure in the hell don't want to hear it from us. That's why they had to do what they did to her and set her up. You know, if you've seen it, if you've seen the piece, it's a tough piece. Constantly tough piece of how they, you know, played her, manipulated her, especially this cat who was undercover for the FBI. Undercover for Urugu. So, Billie Holiday. I'm going to talk about ASCAC today, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And if you go to, if you put in ASCAC, you know, this ASCAC Conference 2021, and then they'll get you to what's going to be happening this weekend. Also, too, on the page, they have some information on the page. They have Reliving the Brutal Elaine Massacre, which I'm going to play in a minute. They also have the five greatest rebellions, captive rebellions in the United States, okay, from the Many Rivers to Cross documentary on PBS, Many Rivers to Cross. And then In Class with Dr. Carr, he's going to talk about the Haitian Revolution then and now. Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr on that particular piece when you go to ASCAC Conference 2021. ASCAC Conference 2021. And, of course, they'll have the information about the conference, which I'm going to go into after the break. But I want to play this particular piece. And I mentioned Elaine, Arkansas many times. I mentioned that as one of the places where the brutality of the European was just so devastating. And of course, that is repeated in many other places. Because once again, if there was a situation where we were organizing, if there was a situation where we had come together to do some good things, positive things for ourselves, and shared money amongst ourselves and so forth, if Caucasians became jealous about it, they would use anything as a pretext to go in and destroy it. One of the main ones, of course, is that somebody messed with a white woman, you know, the virtue of the white woman. And so we got to defend that. So we got to go in and tear down, burn up, and kill. And this was really vicious. I mean, you know, fact, I'm going to talk about the Devil's Punch Bowl. I'm going to research that again to bring that up. Because, you know, some of these deep atrocities, they need to be discussed. You know, because what happened in Natchez, Mississippi. And that's what I'm saying, man. You know, we think that we can, just because we may have a Caucasian friend, we may have Caucasian relatives through marriage, or just might be that your parents, you know, one was a Caucasian, you know, and so forth. And you think that that's something that we can overcome and be a part of. Let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. There ain't nothing we can do. There ain't nothing we can do about that. But what we can do is purge ourselves of this ignorance, of this belief, and this imposed love of Caucasians or Urugu, of whites, and begin to love ourselves. That's what we must do. This is the massacre.
It was called the Red Summer of 1919, named for the blood that ran through America's cities during months of racial unrest. African-American soldiers had returned home from the Great War, World War I, to a country still teeming with discrimination. And in their quest for civil rights, tensions between blacks and whites reached a tipping point. Deadly race riots broke out in over 24 cities, but one rural town, Elaine, Arkansas, would become the epicenter for the bloodshed. The violence there, lynch mobs, torture, indiscriminate murder, was so horrific it would go down in history not as a race riot, but as the Elaine Massacre. This is history. Dark history. During World War I, more than 350,000 African-American soldiers enlisted to serve. But while they fought for democracy abroad, their own country, America, was still not willing to see them as equal.
White supremacy was very mainstream at this time in the United States. Basically, a lot of African Americans were seeking to obtain their full rights and equality in the United States. And violence was often used by mobs of whites.
Tensions reached a boiling point in the summer of 1919. Race riots broke out in dozens of cities across the country. But in the rural South, something even more menacing was taking form. There, slavery existed in all but name. In a system called sharecropping, farmers provided landowners with labor for a share of crops produced. But the system was rigged. Sharecroppers were often kept in perpetual debt.
One black sharecropper raised $500 worth of cotton, and his landlord told him, "Yeah, but you used $697 worth of supplies, so you owe me money."
Everyone who has any power at this point is working to make sure they keep African-American laborers tied to the land.
For roughly 50 years, the system went unchecked. In the fall of 1918, a black man from Arkansas had had enough. Robert Hill had decided to form a union to represent sharecroppers. It was a dangerous decision, and one that would set off a chain of events involving mass murder, torture, and a landmark Supreme Court ruling. But first, he would need to organize.
In his message, Hill was pretty simple and direct. Why is it that we cannot have fair payment for the honest and hard work we do?
Despite the inherent risk involved with challenging whites, World War I veterans and other black sharecroppers became card-carrying members of the Progressive Farmers and Household Union of America.
He believed that by paying dues, these members could have the services of lawyers and sue plantation owners for cotton that had been stolen from them and false numbers that had been placed in the plantation stores' books.
On the night of September 30th, 1919, union members gathered in Elaine to discuss their legal plan.
This is in Phillips County. It's basically just a crossroads at this time, a road, a few houses, a railroad siding. There's no streetlights. There's also a one-room wooden church, and that's where the union met. Expecting that they might have trouble, the union posted a guard of about six men. They had shotguns and rifles. The meeting's taking place, and while they're having this discussion, a car rolls up the road.
Two white men were in the car.
By one account, one of the white men in the car said, "You all get away from there." And shortly thereafter, a shot was fired.
Though it remains unclear who fired first, a barrage of gunfire broke out. One of the white men was killed almost instantly. The rumor of a black uprising spread in a matter of hours. The idea of a sharecropper rebellion conveniently played into the hands of landowners who did not want their sharecropping practices scrutinized. They did all they could, as quickly as they could, to sound alarms that black farmers were out for white blood.
The story gets magnified that the town is under attack, that blacks are killing people in the streets, that there is a revolution afoot.
The sharecroppers quickly formed self-defense groups, expecting repercussions over the death of a white man. But they could not have predicted just how severe the response would be. The following morning, under the watchful eye of Sheriff Frank Kitchens and his deputies, posses of white men were sent to find, detain, and kill the offenders.
When you have an out-of-control mob just being told there's a Negro insurrection going on, that mob's being very indiscriminate in its violence. You see houses being attacked, black-owned homes being ransacked.
The black school was burnt. Notable families were killed.
Black women and children have to go literally hide out in the woods because many of these people are indiscriminately shooting at African-American women and their children.
Black veterans and other African-Americans took up arms in self-defense.
This no doubt just feeds into the mob fervor. The fact that, oh, they're daring to shoot back at us. This must really be an insurrection.
One historian has identified more than 20 different killing sites where African Americans were being killed.
There are stories that mob members were taking souvenirs, such as ears or fingers, from the bodies of fallen African Americans.
One of the leading black families of the county, they weren't even in the town. They had just received a brother back from the French front. They are pulled from a train, put in the back of a car, and they are stabbed, shot, and their mutilated bodies are left on the side of the road.
Within 2 days, 500 U.S. troops were sent to quell the supposed black uprising.
They don't find any blacks killing or shooting down the streets. In fact, Colonel Jenks reports that the city is filled with hundreds and hundreds of white men with guns. Many of the individuals who were hiding in the thickets were former soldiers who had just gotten back from the war. And when they see the army troops come, they rush out, believing that the army troops are there to assist them. The army believes that these people are rushing toward them to attack, and they're cut down by machine gun fire.
Although the exact number will never be known, a recent estimate suggests 237 black men, women, and children were killed. There was an immediate demand for justice, but not for the black lives lost. 5 white men were also killed in the fighting. Hundreds of African Americans were rounded up and put in jail, and when the jail was full, they detained the rest in a schoolhouse.
While they are detained, there is torture going on.
The goal? To elicit false confessions of a black uprising.
They whipped the men, whipped them for long periods of time. They stuffed formaldehyde up their noses, and they stripped them naked and shocked them with electrical charges. They did this until they confessed to the conspiracy.
Robert Hill escaped to Kansas, but his peers back in Arkansas were not as lucky. 122 indictments were issued, and trials quickly started.
The men were brought into the court in chains. They weren't allowed to consult with their defense attorney. The defense attorney rarely interjected, and then the all-white juries started delivering guilty verdicts. In one case, the guilty verdicts came back in 2 minutes.
It's also important to point out that there were mobs of people outside who were demanding black blood. Governor Brough maintained that at some point these people would be killed, but they would have to have been killed justly.
The governor lived up to his word when among the 87 black citizens charged with crimes, 12 were sentenced to death by electric chair. Despite the system being blatantly rigged against them, the convicted men had one unlikely beacon of hope. The American justice system. The trials of the Elaine 12 had been highly publicized. The NAACP took notice and stepped in with legal help for the 12. For 4 years, the team faced a series of legal setbacks and advances until in 1923, the case made its way to the Supreme Court in what is now known as Moore versus Dempsey. There, the defense argued that the original trials had been mob-dominated, and the black prisoners had been denied their constitutional rights. In a landmark decision, the court agreed.
The good that comes out of this is that the NAACP sees for the first time that they can win in the Supreme Court, that things don't always fall along the color lines.
The 12, subjected to torture, injustice, and litigation travesty, were at long last exonerated and released in January 1925. They might have escaped with their lives, but there was nothing that could reverse the pain and devastation felt by the black community in Phillips County, and no way to unsee the ungodly truth that American men, alongside the American government, were complicit in a massacre of American citizens on American soil.
We as a nation have grown and we continue to grow. We don't need to pretend as if we've always had everything figured out. But if we are to do justice to who we are as Americans, we've got to own all of it.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is we're never going to get justice. Just us. We're never going to get the justice that is just and honest. We're not going to get it. And that's just a fact. That's just a historical fact. And as a consequence, we will be always hoping and praying and wishing and marching and sitting in and all of that good stuff. To no avail. So, I tell you, oops, sorry about that. But in a minute, we're going to take a break. Let me come back from the break. We'll talk about the ASCAC conference that is coming up and highlight and go over the agenda and talk about the importance of the organization that ASCAC is and other organizations to change these dynamics, you know. You know, when I just thought about those brothers and all the things that happened over, probably a lot more than 230 plus were murdered. Probably a lot more than that. And of course, not one Caucasian was ever implicated, ever indicted, ever had a trial, ever imprisoned for doing what they have done to us. You know, and they Caucasian always tell them, let bygones be bygones. And I think you and I both know if the situation was reversed, that would never be the case. They would seek justice. Their justice, either we would be killed, our possessions taken, we would be imprisoned. Because the fact of the matter is, the European has created a world where he and who is of value, and everybody else is not. Everybody else, and to the point that he has gone around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. And I know that it has been hundreds of years, and some of these places have now been transformed and entrenched. I know on the continent there are a number of Caucasian enclaves and communities, and not just in South Africa or Namibia, but the fact of South Africa is that Caucasians dominate and control South Africa still. Still. In Namibia, the Germans still run Namibia. Still. The Caucasians in various other countries. That came to light because there was a situation happening, I think it was in Mozambique, where some Caucasians got kidnapped and one was shot, later died, and they're crying about it and so forth. You know, they were born there. You know. man. I'm going to take a break. We come back from the break, we'll talk about ASCAC and some other things that are going on and maybe what's on your mind, okay? We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Spirit in the Dark. Love that piece. Herbie Mann and Dwayne Allman. It's a tough piece. From the Push Push album back in, once again, in 1971 or 72. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening on Mondays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Jahad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then that's followed at from 9 to 10, Conversation Preparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisi Wayan. On Fridays from 8 p.m. until on Fridays, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council on Saturday. And then at 7 on Sunday, at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Once again, it's Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to talk about ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization. Once again, if you want to find out more about the conference that's coming up this weekend and next week, put in the search on your, whatever your search is, ASCAC Conference 2021, ASCAC Conference 2021, and what it brings you to is, of course, a nice piece where it highlights, and you can click the link on the conference, but also it has some other stuff there. Reliving the Brutal Lane Massacre, which I just pointed out. We just played that. The five greatest rebellions of our people fighting. We always fought. That's why we should never, I repeat, we should never call our ancestors slaves. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We've never submitted. And we will never submit. We will always resist. We'll always fight. So they talk about those. And then the other piece is Dr. Carr, Dr. Gray Kamathi Carr, who's the vice president of ASCAC. He does a piece, and he's talking about the Haitian Revolution of 1804. And so check that out. And more importantly, click on the ASCAC study piece like I'm doing right now. So you can register. For registering, brothers and sisters, once again, go to ASCAC2021.eventbrite.com. That's ASCAC2021.eventbrite. Brighter spelled B-R-I-T-E. Eventbrite.com. And once you go on there, you can register for the conference, which is free. But if you want to take out your membership or renew your membership, if you're an elder, that information is there for you. The membership is less. So all of it is right there for you. It is free to register. So go to ASCAC2021.eventbrite.com. The conference is from the 9th through the 17th. And the title, this is the 37th annual Kemetic Studies Conference. This 37th annual Kemetic Studies Conference. The theme, the classical African worldview during post-pandemic times, leaving footprints for the 21st century and eternity. The conference begins this Friday at 7:45. The agenda reads as such. The reading of the Aztec Ancestors List and Musical Interlude. Some great ancestors. Man, Taki Bretan and Ron Pounds brings to mind for me those two brothers. In fact, that's how I found out about Aztec in Milwaukee. They were both from Chicago, living in Milwaukee. Yeah. Great elders. And many other elders. In fact, when they had Aztec, Baba Jetty, Dr. Jacob Carruthers came and spoke. And Roosevelt Roberts and Anderson Thompson, all these are ancestors now, great men and women of Aztec. At 8 p.m. on Friday, the conference opening, the presiding elders, there's libation and invocation, and then there's the national anthem of Lift Every Voice and Sing. And then there are statements of welcome. Mario Beatty, the president, Dr. Mario Beatty, the president of Aztec, Dr. Kamal Rashid, the president of the Midwest region, Nana Galt, president of the Eastern region, LeGrand Clegg, my good brother, attorney LeGrand Clegg of Compton, California. Very good, but I love LeGrand. One of the first people I've met at Aztec. In fact, when I've been out to L.A., I always got a chance to see him along with Renoco and a few others. LeGrand Clegg, president of the Western region in L.A. Dr. Reba Kelsey, my president here in the Southern region, Sister Reba. Baba Ron McCoy is the president of the Mid-Atlantic region. And Baba Kelsey, the building fund, the Aztec building fund, Dr. Reba Kelsey, who, of course, is an esteem. In fact, now that, you know, when I say that, when I do a libation, I say, you know, it's always an honor to pour libation. And, of course, I start out with, it is in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Do I have permission to speak? And of course, that was back then. But now look at elders, me being one. Just like at the, that's what I did this past Monday at the poetry session. I did a libation. And, of course, I was the oldest person in the joint, so. But when there are esteemed elders in your midst and you recognize them for the work that they have done and they're continuing to do, they just didn't say, well, I got it this far. I'm gonna. No, they continue to do work. And that's the kind of man Baba Reba Kelsey is and deserves to be respected and acknowledged always. And then at 8:45, there's an Aztec video with Queen Nzinga Radabishi Haru, who made her transition quite a few years ago. Now, I'm not sure, quite a few years, though, that she made her transition. I've been here 7 years, so it must be at least 10, 12 years. And then at 9, there's an Aztec community conversation at 9 p.m., and then there's going to be some closing comments. On Saturday start at 1 p.m., the conference will start at 1 p.m. Brother Mario Beatty, the Aztec president, will give an opening address. A new discovery, deciphering the artistic style of Akhenaten. A new discovery, deciphering the artistic style of Akhenaten. And if you don't know, Akhenaten was Amenhotep's son, and he changed his name to Akhenaten. And he established the belief in one God, Aten, the belief in one God. And so this will be an interesting conversation. And then at 1:30, Latrilla Thornton, the chair of Aztec Education Committee, High Priestesses, Kepra Haru, Healing and Learning Temple, broadening education to include the spiritual domain. At 2 p.m., there will be question and answer sessions, and then at 2:15, they have a break, and they have a video with Dr. Ben. At 2:30, Stephanie Tisdale, a doctoral student at Temple University, Visionary Leadership in Institution Building, Women of African Descent. And all of these, they don't have concurrent workshops. They're just presentations, and then one after the other, you know. Because at 2:50, 20 minutes later, Sharon Whitney, Sankofa Freedom Academy Charter School, and Imhotep High School Charter School, an Ubuntu collaborative project. So they're going to be doing some things as a project that they had. And 3:10, Makita Kamasi, University of California, Riverside, walking in Kumba, living through Ma'at presentation. Walking in Kumba, creativity, and living through Ma'at. Another question and answer series. And then at 3:45, attorney Angela Porter, managing editor of ASCAT Compass Journal, which is a great publication. I wish they would do it consistently. Independent scholar from Minnesota. Comedic protocol, core ways of knowing governance, has shown in the selected texts. Probably in the Husil or other texts. Followed by another question and answer series. And then at 4:15, my good brother LeGrand Clegg, the attorney from the Western region out of Compton, California. He has a call to action. He always does that. That's what I love about him. At the ASCAT conferences, he brings good information, and he's always calling us to do something, which is aside from just reading. Yeah, I love it. Response to Urban Review Journal's reaction of article promoting the Black Olmec theory. I want to find out about that. Highlighting protests against nationwide gentrification of Black communities through a case study of Crenshaw, the Crenshaw community in L.A., Black L.A. So I'm definitely want to check out Brother LeGrand's presentation on that Saturday. And then there's going to be some closing comments. And that does it for Saturday around 5 o'clock. On Sunday at 1 p.m., ASCAC Midwest Atlantic Region Study Group presentation. The Mid-Atlantic has a presentation. And then at 1:30, Brother Samari Grimes, independent scholar in Philadelphia, for the love of Black children, energizing exemplary ideas for village building. At 1:50, Dr. Roslyn Jeffries, Dr. Leonard Jeffries' wife, Dr. Roslyn Jeffries, ASCAC Creative Productions Commission, storming the Capitol. Oh, this is deep. Storming the Capitol with Greco-Kemetic symbols, with Greek Egyptian symbols or Kemetic symbols. Storming the Capitol. Let me deep. Then the question and answer series. That'll be followed by a break. And at the break, they're going to have a video with Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jimsu Juhudi, Simshu Juhudi. At 3:15, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, he's a founding director, chair of the ASCAC Council of Elders, the African Renaissance, Significance and Future. That's his presentation, the African Renaissance. Dr. Leonard Jeffries, followed by question and answer, and then a closing remarks on Sunday. Nothing happening on Monday. They pick up on Tuesday. Tuesday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Eastern. Oh, what did I say about the... remind me when I gave that like that. Let me do it right here. The Bibi Atumi, the Saturday seminar series with Baba Obadile Kamban is at 1 o'clock, brothers and sisters, at 1 o'clock. I don't know if I said that or not, but I want to make sure I got that in there. It's at 1 o'clock, and you can go to bbatumi.com and register. So let me get back to ASCAC, okay? So it's going to be on a Tuesday. They begin, again, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Aman Saba, and he's director of the Karnak House publication in the UK, Trinidad, and Tobago. The impact of the philosophy of Kemet on the fundamental concepts of Islamic moral philosophy. Wow. Okay. And at 8:30, my good brother, Larry Crow, ASCAC National Second Vice President, Brother Larry Crow, and great researcher. And he's a part of the research commission. And he's going to do a presentation, of course, Dr. Martin R. Delaney. He's a, I consider the authority on Dr. Martin R. Delaney. In fact, I'm going to get him. I'm going to call him up. I'm going to do a presentation on Dr. Martin R. Delaney, the best person to do it. The Life and Public Health Services of Dr. Martin R. Delaney, 19th century African genius and the father of African nationalism, black nationalism, Martin R. Delaney. It's a great story. I've heard him talk about Delaney many times. From at 9 p.m. on Tuesday, Reggie Mabry, independent scholar of New York and in Harlem, the Medu Netcher tour of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Wow. Wow. That should be interesting. A lot of course, the museums of the world. And it's always interesting when we, of course, had nothing to offer humanity. We had no arts, no sciences, nothing. We were just running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything, just waiting on white folks, waiting on the cracker, waiting on the Urugu. And yet all our stuff is in all these museums, the Louvre in Paris, the British Museum, the New York, Berlin Museum, all around the world, to have all our stuff. Wednesday, the 14th of April, Dr. Gallman, Bernie Gallman, Baba Gallman, independent scholar out of South Carolina, analyzing our oppression, understanding the mechanisms. Okay, at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, Dr. Bernie Gallman. At 8:20, Dr. Joshua Myers, Associate Professor, Africana Studies at Howard, A Worthy Ancestor, W.E.B. Du Bois, A Black Life. Focus on Du Bois. At 8:40, Deborah Johnson, independent scholar, Buffalo, New York, Early 20th Century Progressive Movements in Buffalo, New York. And then at 9, Tyreek Richardson, a doctoral student, Department of Africology at Temple University, the Great African Thinker Series, a literary celebration of our intellectual heroes. And it's a little question and answer series after that. And of course, there'll be closing remarks. And then Thursday, April 15th, the ASCAC Eastern Region Study Groups of New Jersey, and of course, Harlem, Buffalo, and Rochester, New York, and so forth, toward a research strategy, the African origin of Kemetic civilization, focusing on Sheikh Anta Diop, Civilization or Barbarism, the book Civilization or Barbarism by Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. Follow up question and answer, then Otina Thompson, emerging scholar of Claflin University in South Carolina, undergrad research in Africana studies, along with the following: Savannah Joyner, another emerging scholar of Claflin and a research scholar. So they have presentations on their work. And then at 8:50, Sean Brooks, another, now he's from Morehouse, student transformation under an African studies curriculum at Morehouse. And that's what they have, transformation. And then Rodney Gross, another Morehouse student. Question and answer. And that's the close of that day. And then Friday the 16th, Dr. Valethia Watson, that's Mario Beatty's wife, Valethia Watson. And, you know, they've been together a long time. In fact, I remember when I met them back at the Indiana Black Expo. Back in the 90s, they were called the New Jack Scholars. Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, Mario Bate, all are beautiful. Dr. Lethia Watkins, Associate Professor of Africana Studies at Howard, where Beatty is and where Dr. Carr is. Standing in Their Own Truth, African Women and the Fight to Vote, Then and Now. And then at 8:30, Dr. Kamal Rashid, President of ASCAC Midwest Region, Capoeira Finds Order in the Chaos. African Fighting Arts has an African-centered education. Capoeira. At 8:50, Damone Stiff, founder and president of Historic African Martial Arts Association, to walk as a lion, the warrior way in African context. And then follow with some question and answers and closing comments. The last day on Saturday the 17th at 1 p.m., Saturday at 1 p.m., Yvonne Jones, a good sister from Chicago, Yvonne Jones, the ASCAC Spiritual Development Commission, and she's director of the Kemetic Institute. She is a priest of the Temple of the African Community of Chicago. Those Netaru, what can they do? Give life, give health, empower, restore, and more. What does the Netaru, the Medu Netcher, the Netaru? Medu means writing. Netcher means gods, the writing of the gods. That's what the Medu Netcher was. It wasn't no hieroglyphs. The Medu Netcher. Dr. Joyce Hardiman, Sister Dr. Joyce Hardiman, out of the Seattle area. She's co-chair of the ASCAC Creative Productions Commission. Finding Abundance in Pandemics, a retrospective of 22 episodes of Let the Ancestors Speak, a virtual YouTube salon. Oh, that's going to be great. Because, I mean, I've been saying that to us, to you, my brothers and sisters, and our listening audience all the time. Go to YouTube. You can you can hear Garvey. You can hear everybody. You can hear all our ancestors and contemporaries. Let the Ancestors Speak, Dr. Joy Hardiman. And Sister Muriel at 2 p.m., Sister Muriel Bala, Kemetic Institute of Chicago. Patera, a national store. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, but that's at 2:15. And then 2:35, Brother Montgomery, the Medu Netcher Study Group of Detroit, Understanding Ma'at has a Understanding Ma'at has a functional centrum, nature reality. Organized has a living interactive process. Understanding Ma'at. Brother Infudishi at 2:55, Brother Infudishi, along with Juhudi Haru, Perank, developing Kemetic spiritual material for teaching our children. And then at 3:15, they got questions answered. And then 3:30, the conference break, and they'll have a video of Dr. Asa Hilliard. So they got Dr. Ben, they got Dr. Asa Hilliard, they got Dr. Carruthers. And so at 3:45, my good brother Akil Parker, who will be my guest this Friday, of course, is Baba Baruti. Next week, Friday, Brother Akil Parker. And, of course, he's an adjunct math professor at Cheney University, and he's going to talk about W.E. Du Bois, the mathematician. That's going to be interesting. Du Bois, the mathematician. And at 4:05, Kwame Ture Society for African Studies at Howard University. Kwame Ture Society, the Way of Companions. And then the keynote address at the end of the program is Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr. And, of course, he is the ASCAC first vice president. He's the chair of the Africana Studies at Howard. Changing Semtex and New Normals, African Survival in the Worlds to Come. Wow, that's going to be deep. And then followed by a question, and that closes the ASCAC conference. Being a member of ASCAC and understanding how important ASCAC is, not necessarily how important ASCAC is, understanding how important the information, understanding how important the knowledge of ancient Kemet, understanding the importance of the knowledge of Africa and Africans. ASCAC is the vehicle that presents that. ASCAC is the brothers and sisters that do the research. That's how important it is. It is liberating. The more you know about yourself, the better you feel about who you are and what you're about and what you must do. Arm yourself with knowledge of yourself. That's why it's vitally important that we embrace that. We can got a few folks in the queue if you want to join the conversation. Hit star twice. Hit star twice. Let me know if you want to add a question or two. Or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have a few more minutes. If you want to. There's something else on your mind? Another question, comment, or concern? You know, we're always willing to engage in good conversation. And that's what we, well, I'm going to tell you, you know what we need. We need organization. You know, we need organization. The ancient Kemetic society, which is to be held as a model. And that's why I want to hear Brother Cam Barnes' presentation on Saturday as well, you know, about Kemet Matters, because I've always believed Kemet Matters. When I was working with young people in schools, I always told them about, because we've been led to believe that it is not us, even to this day. I just mentioned the fact that they got the new museum because the antiquities of ancient Kemet is controlled by the Egyptian government, and that's their money. I told you when they had that Arab Spring, when they was tearing stuff up, they formed a human chain around the museum. Y'all can tear some shit up down the street, but you ain't messing with this. You ain't gonna come up in here busting up stuff like them Islamic cats in Iraq or Islamic cats elsewhere like El Shabaab or ISIS or whatever. No, you ain't destroying nothing. Imagine if we still had the papyri and all the things that were burned down when they burned the library down. Imagine the advance where we would be. I do believe in spirituality. I do. But man, we have been in a horrible state for too damn long. I was refraining from cussing, y'all. We have been in a terrible state for way too long, hundreds of years. And we still believe that we can reform this system. We can reform Caucasians, and we can get Caucasians to respect our humanity and treat us with dignity and respect and allow us to be a part of this madness that they created. Oh. Stop it, us. Stop it, y'all. Please. Embrace your African selves. I ain't saying you gotta change your name. I changed my name because I knew and felt it was right for me. I ain't saying you gotta wear African clothes. I do because I felt it was right for me. You must develop the mind, the African mind. We have a caller. 602-602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Marcus. How are you, brother? Good to hear from you always.
Doing great, good brother. Doing great. You know, I think it's fitting that your organization, the ASCAC, is doing this Zoom conference here, this series. At the same time, these cultural bandits in Egypt is moving those mummies.
Yeah. See? I saw that, man. I made mention of that, Brother Marcus. I mean, yes. you know, the way they did it was theatrics.
Really pissed me off to see what these people doing, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they're in control. They're in control there. And once again, you know, they perceive themselves as being Caucasian. They want to be white. And so to them, ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt is white, you know.
Sure, your whole ignorant they are.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, they came on the scene 700 A.D.
Right. That's exactly.
They came on the scene. Those mummies are from the B.C. era. They're from the B.C. Right. So they don't know nothing about their history either. If they are claiming it, if they're claiming it, they don't know nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, it's befitting that your organization is doing this, and we should amp it up.
Yeah.
You know, because this, you know, they have been, these folks have been, everybody come rob us. Everybody. You know, I was looking at a documentary this morning about Zambia and what the Chinese do in Zambia.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what one of the Chinese man said? He said, "I ain't going back to China."
Right.
Because life is good here.
Exactly.
He said,
exactly. The atmosphere, the landscape, all of it.
Yeah. He said he ain't going back to China.
You know?
So how the hell we gonna have to get these people out of there?
Yeah.
They come, they said they ain't going. He said, man, this lifestyle here. He said these people have a different rhythm. You know?
Yeah. That's why we have to act now. We got to get these folks up out of here. They're talking about bringing into Africa once they begin to have more control, and how they gain control is the infrastructure projects that they built and that we unfortunately are unable to pay for, and then they take them and claim them. And so they started claiming more projects, more land, and so forth. Next thing you know, they're talking about bringing in 300 million. 300 million Chinese into Africa.
Mm-mm, they need to go to Australia or someplace,
right.
To Mongolia or some other
place.
Not in Africa.
No.
Not in Africa. We are sick and tired of parasites. Everybody come, they suck our blood. But the people of Zambia, they coming up to an election. And hopefully they'll sweep that fool out they got as president. They'll get a big broom and push his monkey behind out.
Yeah.
Because he don't know nothing. You know? You're going to let these people come in and they say, you know, they say Zambia has the most copper reserves in the world.
See, that's
and
the
they
thing.
Just digging and digging.
Yeah.
And they have no account. They don't even give an account to the government of what the hell they're digging out. You know, so it's, my brother, he said, we got to get on the good foot and step up the fight.
Yes.
Anyway, good brother.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Peace to you, man.
And good
always, you have a blessed day, man. Hope to hear you on Friday, man. We got Baba Baruti on, okay?
Yes, man. I'll be here, man.
All right. Thank you, brother. Peace. Brother Marcus, you know, he's right. You know, we got to do something now. The unification of Africa, the unification of African people is now. This is not some future. I know we set dates in the future, but it is now. We don't have time to lollygag and play around. Just like I read to you all the time. About what Nkrumah said, what he said at the beginning of the establishment of Ghana after, you know, ending colonialism, to what he said years later about us haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Look at Africa. And all of the resources that are there, that are ours. And I ain't talking about, you know, Zamunda. I ain't talking about Wakanda. I'm talking about the continent. And I know I heard that somebody wants to build a Wakanda. Damn, Wakanda. I want us to build societies. I want us to build infrastructure. I want us to build roads that connect all of Africa. I want us to build schools. I want us to build hospitals. I want us to build living communities and so forth. I want us to build Africa. I want us to control the land to make sure that they're the land for the animals that are there is also preserved. I want us to make sure that the water is maintained and is clean and drinkable. I want us to do all these things to make the continent of Africa ours, where we can live and love freely. And if somebody wants something, we'll negotiate. But you ain't coming up in here and taking a damn thing. And I want us to be able to deal with traitors. I want us to be able to deal with those agent provocateurs. Those folks who smile in our face, who are us, but who work on behalf of Urugu. Six four six. Good afternoon.
Odios, what's popping, baby? What's popping?
I can't call it, Jay. How are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm waiting for Friday, man. I was just calling to make sure that we gonna get an extra maybe 40 minutes in the program.
Well, I can call. I can call Brother Elliot, you know, let him know.
Nah, man, I'm talking about 40 minutes from the start, baby.
Oh.
You know, because you usually take 45 minutes to get into the show.
No, I take a half an hour.
You know, let's cut that down to 5. You know what I mean? We got the man that's going to be in the house to rock and roll. We don't need to be hearing about other shows and this and that. And that and this. If you want to read one of the other statements, you got the brother there. Let him drop one. You know, I want at least an hour.
Well, listen, this is what we're going to do, Jay.
50 minutes.
This is what we're going to do, Jay. We're going to come in with our usual intro, and I'm going to read the Enye say some, and then we're going to take it from there. That's what's going
to
happen.
Well, brother, I'm glad to hear that, because maybe that'll make it shorter. And yeah, if you want to give Brother Elliot a call and ask him if you could get a little more time, if Baba is available to continue his teaching, then that's what needs to be done, brother, on that blessed day. You know what I mean? Your boys had last Friday, Holy Sunday, or whatever the hell you want to call it. Let's have a Holy African Day this Friday. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, whenever Bob is on, you're going to get knowledge, wisdom, and truth, man. You know, so.
I know. Yeah, you're
and,
right.
And
it's
you're a beautiful
right.
thing.
Yeah, you're
I
right.
Look forward. I look forward to it. Matter of fact, I had an appointment scheduled that I had forgot about.
You had to change
it. I had to call and reschedule the appointment.
Okay, then we're definitely going to make it worth your while, Jay. We're definitely going to do that, brother. Tell as many people as you can. I'm going to put the information out. A lot of times you can't put information out too early, so I'm going to put information out tomorrow about
Man,
Friday's
you
program.
Man, you got to put that out every day if you You got to let the word out that Baba Baruti is going to be on, because
has a constant reminder.
A lot of our people need to hear Baba Baruti at this time, man. I had got some good news today from my nephew, man. He told me he's not going to take the vaccination because, hey, you know what I mean? He's been doing a little research, and like he said, the things that they putting in this vaccination, nobody knows. And now, you know, they sneakily putting out here that you're going to have to take a booster shot. So that means whenever they come out with a booster shot, they add more sugar, honey, iced tea to the mix. Man, it's crazy. But I find it to be going to a situation where they're going to try and make this thing mandatory for you to do anything in this world, which is unfortunate.
You know, and to me, Jay, you know, when you have other people talking about the alternatives to taking this vaccine. They're really pushing this vaccine constantly, and the amount of money that is going to be made, the billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, that will be made because of this whole situation and the global situation. And of course, you know, I'm very leery of anybody who have talked about population control, who have openly talked about population control, now pushing a vaccine. You know, I'm talking about Gates and Fauci particularly, and I'm quite sure there are others. You know, and if always
Gates and the rest of that,
yeah,
the rest of that that Caucasoid mutation crew.
Yeah,
I mean, look, but this right quick, OC, I remember. Now I'm gonna say this and try to put it into some context.
Okay.
I remember back in the day when the glorious time of ASCAP, man, you know, that's the only reason I say it was the glorious time of ASCAP, because everybody at, in a sense that's passed that they're honoring
right.
was there at was that there. Time.
Yeah, I
you
agree.
Know, and
yeah. Yeah.
I remember, I think I went to two conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of them I went to was the one that they had at City College when I think they first started doing conferences. It may have been the second or the third. I'm not really sure. But at that time, you know, the elders was there. Dr. Ben was
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Dr. Clark was there.
Yeah.
You know, Scobie, Carruthers, all of the heavyweights were there. It was a beautiful damn time,
sure,
man.
Sure.
Because all of the intellectual, heavyweight, conscious, Afrocentric people that were there was at the conference. So you saw everyone basically came in, did a short presentation or presentation, man. And you know, it just goes to show how we grow on a certain level and how our elders, our past, you know, original representatives, when they leave, how things, you know, just go a little different, man. But, you know, I don't know what the conference is going to be like now. It's kind of interesting because, you know, it's on Zoom and things of that
right.
nature. So I don't know what the presentation is going to be like. I'll try to pop in maybe.
Yeah. Listen, Jay,
but
go to, in order for you to be a part of, you got to register. And so go to ASCAC2021.eventbrite.com. ASCAC2021.event. And Bright is spelled BRITE. Eventbrite.com. Register. Register
yeah.
is free, but if you want to renew your membership, if you're a member of ASCAC, or you want to become a member of ASCAC, if you're an elder and so forth, all of that, you know. But on this Saturday,
I'm definitely gonna register just to be able to pop in, you know.
Yeah,
and
definitely, because it's all week. You know, it starts this Friday, and it ends next Saturday. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
It
so
ends
that,
next Saturday.
That's even more interesting,
yeah.
Because I would figure they if it was me and I was doing it, I would definitely have a master teacher every night for an hour, man, do a presentation.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're doing something
well,
like that.
Right, they're doing something
yeah,
like
man,
that. But they also
beautiful.
Also too, they got a lot of young people. Some of the schools that some of the scholars teach at, they're making presentations at Morehouse, Claflin College.
Okay,
you know. Stuff like that. So it's going to be a great presentation, I believe. And
oh, no question.
You know, yeah, it's
yeah.
going to be great.
I mean,
and I look forward to it.
But, you know, I was just thinking back, man, to the time that I went to the conference, man. It was a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah.
It was, you know, you saw us in our God, our
yeah.
African God. I mean, it was quite interesting. I think that was one of the first times I had something made was for the ASCAC conference, man. And, you know, I just think we have to, like you said, move forward with all that is going on within our community and around us. But it's good, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, the bottom line is the white man, he got to – he got to hold on to his fame, man. I was talking to a brother last night, man, and he was telling me something about the white man is going to give this up. I told him, you know, you sound kind of retarded.
He's going to give up what?
That the white, if you think the white man is going to give this up, you don't even have a clue. I don't care how many people in this country are non-white. The white man is going to always have control and power in this country.
Exactly.
He controls all of the resources.
Yeah.
He determines if your black ass is hired or if you're not hired. He determines how you live. You know, I mean, he just goes to show you that he'll change the game at the drop of the hat to benefit him. That's what's going on in your state, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that gets me is, and this is what's so frustrating is, you have these corporations come out here and say that we're against this and we're against that. Wasn't you against it before they did the do dirty? Why didn't you come out when the call was cried for you to come out before they do dirty?
Well, the
because
thing is,
you know, no, let me finish, yo. Once you do the do dirty, and the do dirty is the law, you now have a little safety by coming out against it because you know you ain't gonna be able to change it, to make them change it. Now, they got lucky in North Carolina because there was a little more in play than it is now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't have no respect for Coca-Cola, Delta, and any of those corporations.
I don't either.
Because they should have did that before the law came into play because whatever the hell the governor's name is, Wilson or whatever, he ain't going to change the law. And you ain't in no position to demand him not to change the law. And Mitch McConnell done basically told you, stay out of it, but give me your money. Now, that just shows.
He sure did. He said you should be out of politics unless you're giving donations.
Still give me your money.
Listen, Jay, I got to go, man.
Ain't got a white man at his best?
I swear.
Ain't got a white man, Oshie, at his best? Nah, I mean, if that ain't the height of arrogance and whiteness at play.
There
I
it
don't
is.
Know what the hell to tell you.
There it is, Jay.
That's a serious white boy telling you, yo, shut the F up and just give up the money and business will go on.
As usual.
Do not stop.
All right, Jay, I got to run, man. I appreciate
all
you,
right,
brother.
Bro.
Okay, I'll see you on Friday, man. You have a blessed day, Jay. Okay, peace. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.